Thank you because we are gathered again because you gave us the opportunity for this. And so, Lord, we thank you because the entrance of your word breathes light and it causes our paths to shine. Thank you for the transformation through your word tonight. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You can have your seat. Amen. So we'll teach, then after teaching, we're going to have room for questions and answers. So if you have your question, you can start arranging it. We'll be so excited to answer your questions pertaining relationship and marriage. Amen. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, KJV, Genesis chapter 2 verse 18. The Bible says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Somebody say, it's not good. If you are single, turn to another single. Say, single, single. It is not good that I'm alone. Hallelujah. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. The first thing we should understand from this scripture is that marriage is God's design. It's God's design. It's not man's design. So from the beginning of scripture in Genesis chapter 2, why God has created the world, the next thing he did, he had created man, He said it is not good that man should be alone. So God designed that man and woman should be together. I mean, they should be helpmeet suitable for themselves. So it is God's design that you should be married. Yes. It is what? God's design that you should be what? Be married. And from this scripture, it is man and woman, not man and man, or woman and woman. Anything that is not in scripture is not of God. So you must understand that fact, that it is God's design for marriage. Then number two, the design was that man should not be alone. Man should be with a woman. Man, the hardware, should be with a woman, the software. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's God's design, that man should not be alone. Man should have a woman.
Yes. The man should have a woman. God said it's not good that the man should be alone. Another thing we could draw from here is that obviously marriage is not based on contracts. Marriage is not supposed to be contracted. Marriage is a covenant. And the Lord God said, anything God institutes, it's a covenant.
Yeah.
It is not a contract. So what does this mean? Is that when you want to choose someone, when you want to get married, you are going with the mindset, because we're dealing with kingdom marriage, you're going with the mindset that marriage is not for a short time. Marriage is a lifetime
thing. Yeah.
Marriage is a lifetime thing, because some persons can just go with that mindset and like, oh, you know what? If you just shake, let me just test it. You know, so marriage is covenant, not a contract. Now, from this scripture also, you see that it takes a man and a woman who is submitted to God to make a kingdom marriage. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Because he spoke, it shows that a man and a woman who comes together to say that they need to get married have to be tuned to God, to be submitted to God, to make a godly marriage. A godly marriage is one, a kingdom marriage is one, that God is the foundation of the marriage.
So Christ is what? The foundation of the marriage. So anytime you come to the altar before God to get married, what you are trying to say is that I'm submitting to the will of God. You are saying I'm submitting to the will of God. So it is no longer a contract between me and the lady. It's now a covenant. God has become the third person in that union. So it's me, my wife, and God. And God is the one that governs. It's not my policies or my philosophies or what social media is telling on how to make marriage work. It's what scripture talks about. And that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be dealing on some principles that make marriage work from kingdom perspective.
Yes.
From what? Kingdom perspective. I know many of you have celebrated a lot of celebrity marriages, but unfortunately, you are getting disappointed every day because they are beating some, they are driving some away now, you know. Hallelujah. They are locking some brother-in-laws. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. But the truth is that there's only one foundation that is sure.
Yes.
You know, the one that is done in Christ and with wisdom.
True.
The Bible says it is through wisdom a house is built.
Yes.
You get? So it is through wisdom, but a house is built. Mm. If you take this away, you realize that you start having issues in marriage. And that is why a lot of Christian marriages today are really, really struggling, because a lot of people are taking the secular idea of what they see or what they feel, and you want to constrain God to be loyal to your ideology. It doesn't work when it comes to marriage.
True. And you just said something very powerful. So it's possible that God can speak.
Yes.
God can reveal the choice of a spouse to you, but you can miss it if you lack wisdom.
Yes.
If you don't draw wisdom from God, you can't build a kingdom marriage. Kingdom marriage requires kingdom principles, not secular principles.
So what are the kingdom principles? Number one, you have to embrace God's order and rules. God's order and rules. God's what? Order and rules. So when God was creating man from the beginning, he said it's not good for a man to be alone. Then he created the woman and he made man the head. Hallelujah. He made man the head. And the reason why he made man the head over the woman was not for man to bully the woman. It was basically for order's sake. You know, many a times I tell my church people, I'm not just telling them, I know sometimes I'm in church like this. I after service, I'm trying to greet a lot of people in church, and I realize that there are some people who have been in ministry for 20-something years, and I'm pastoring them. 15 years, I'm pastoring them. And we are all one family. You know, and they say, yes, sir, to me. So, talking to the Holy Ghost told me something. He said, the reason why you are opportuned as the head is because of order's sake. So, because all of us are pastors, doesn't mean all of us must be pastor. Otherwise, on Sunday, we'll be fighting for Mike. So, for order's sake, so God respects our offices, but for order's sake, one person is chosen to be the pastor, the head of the church, by privilege. Mm-hmm. So, also in marriage as well, too. You know, the woman is as equal as the man
yeah.
in God's creation. But however, for order's sake, he made man the head, and he expects the woman to submit.
Yes.
He expects the woman to submit. But today in our generation, this has become a major problem. Submission, headship, understanding our roles and our function has become a major problem. So you see couples, they fight. I mean, shoulders are being raised. The woman bullying the man bullying the woman. Basically because we do not understand order and rules. So let's read Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22 to 25. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22 to 25. God's prescription for order and rule. He said, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands. Let's deal with this one, right? Wives, what? Submit yourselves to your own husband. Did you see boyfriend there? You know, some of you submit to boyfriends. When you now marry, you have refused to submit to husbands. Am I telling somebody? Some of you are doing wifey duty now in a boyfriend's house. That's criminality. You wash his boxers. You cook for him. You have sex with him. Amen. That is not the order. Scripture says wives. He said wives. Sorry, he said wives. So if the man says, we have not yet married, the man says, you don't submit to me. I told you to come to my house and I told you to put your clothes. Let me see something. Tell him the Bible said it's wives, not girlfriends. Are we together? He said, wives, what? Submit to your own husbands. Not to that person's husband. Not to your pastor. There are women that respect their pastor more than they respect their husband. It's an error.
True.
That's what scripture is saying. He said, what? Submit to your own husband.
Yes.
The pastor has his own wife.
Yes, sir.
Don't do more than the wife. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Wives, what? Submit to your own husband as what? Unto the Lord. The way you submit to the Lord, that is how you should submit to your own what? Husband. For the husband is what? The head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Somebody say everything.
Everything.
Husbands. I know ladies are waiting for this one now. What are men? What are men? What will men do now? Are you listening now? Husbands, love your wife. You know love is the greatest commandment.
Yes, sir.
Love is bigger than submission.
Yes, sir.
The responsibility to love is bigger than submission. Love. Don't stop loving, no. If she does one kind, the Bible say what? Love. So it's not when you call her pet name, baby, 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 and she offends you, you say Amaka. It doesn't change. It doesn't switch. Love. Are we together? He said, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
So love is a commandment. It's not a condition. So you're not, you, husbands, you're not loving your wives because you feel like it. Commandment is not emotional. It doesn't have anything to do with how you feel. It has a lot to do with how you love God. Because love is a commandment, not a condition. And the same thing with submission. Wives, submit to your own husband. There is no condition there's no condition for submission. Submission is a kingdom principle. And if you need your marriage to be successful, it shows that you must abide by the principles of kingdom. Wives, submit to your own husband. There is no condition. There is not, oh, there is a way he talks, that's why I can't submit. There is a way he acted, that's why I can't submit to him. It is wives, submit to your own husband. And that's why you need to know the attitude of the man you are to submit to before you get married. I'm telling you. It's not, you know, when some women, they are choosing men to get married to, they look at the size of his pocket, not the size of his sense. I'm going somewhere. Listen. And so many times, by the time you get married, you struggle with submitting to him as the head.
True.
One of the things that was very striking for me when I was going to get married to my husband was I loved how sensible he talks when he strikes conversation. So I knew that. Amen. I liked that when I bring up some things to him, how he brings the ideas, the wisdom, and all that. So I wasn't going to struggle with, oh, knowing that, oh, this man has something in his head to lead me. Because listen, somebody can have a lot of money in his pocket, can be rich in his pocket, but not rich in sense.
True.
Somebody can be rich in his pocket, but not rich in his mindset. So you need to observe all of this thoroughly, knowing that submission is a commandment, it's not a condition. So you must open your eyes very well. I say it every every time that love sees, love is not blind. Many times people are blind to the love that has sight. So you must open your eyes to watch deliberately and diligently about the attitude that you see in a man before you say yes. Because when you get married, you are going to submit to him no matter how he may behave. Somebody was sharing with me and said to me that, you know, my husband just got me angry. And you know what? I am walking out on him. I'm like, hey. I mean, it would have walked out many times. Because there are certain things you may not be able to rule out. I mean, if you're going to get married, you're in marriage with someone, the person will get you angry sometimes. God is not saying submit to a flawless person. It is wife submit to your own husband. So there is nothing like, there's a way he behaved. He didn't give me so much, so you receive higher than him. Because you receive higher than him, you can't submit. So these are the things you must look out for before you say yes, because when you're entering marriage, you are going to submit to that man. The same thing for the husbands. You're choosing, for example, you're choosing someone that cannot cook. Maybe you're choosing a lady now that can't cook. You know, you're choosing someone that, you know, there's a way she is, there's a way she looks, you know. I know a marriage that crashed within how many months was complaining that there's a way his wife cannot dress well. She doesn't have a good dress sense. There's a way she speaks. There's a way she does that. And then by the time he got married to her, they were having friction. He found it hard to really love her. That's why when you're choosing the person, you are accepting both the person's strength and the person's weakness. Because when you get married, you are loving what you have chosen, make up of strength and weakness. So you're not waking up to say, this person's shape is somehow today, I'm not loving the person. Or you're waking up to say, this person, there's a way this person dressed, so I cannot. You are loving your spouse every day. And that's why it's unto God. Because if you don't truly love God, you cannot relate well with any person. If you don't have a relationship with God, you cannot actually submit easily or love easily. It takes a relationship with God. It takes loving God to be able to love well. Praise God.
So if you see the scripture, it said, husband, love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So how did Christ love the church? That's a very good question. That's what he's going to tell us on how we should love our wife. How did Christ love the church? The Bible says, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when Christ decided to die for us, he wasn't looking for perfect breeds to die for. He was never looking for perfect bread. Even scripture said, our righteousness is as a filthy rat. So there was nothing he would have done that would have impressed God to have sent his son.
True.
So he accepted our imperfection, knew that I was very stubborn, knew that I can be wayward or anyhow, knew that he can be a cultist, or you had committed abortion and all those stuff. But yet, he made arrangement for his son to die for you. So while you were a red sinner, Christ died for you. So no greater love had known man than this, that Jesus laid his life for us. So he loved us. So now, this kind of love that Jesus had for the church, scripture is saying that should be replicated in our marriage. It's a big one, right? Listen, if you understand these things, you will not marry anyhow.
True, very true.
Because you just have to love.
You have to.
So divorce is not an option. For the believer, it shouldn't be an option.
True.
But unfortunately, it's becoming a big deal now because we don't understand scripture.
True.
If you thoroughly understand scripture, you will not marry anyhow to the point that you want to divorce. Because you must know how Christ loved the church.
True.
If I do something wrong today now, Christ can't run away from me. He still has to love me. He will love me. Small thing, now you get up, you want to carry your bag and go. But that's not what is in scripture. It says, husband, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and what he gave himself. That's what true love is. And that's why scripture calls us men bridegroom. Oh, my wife is not perfect. My wife is not trying. Hey, I made a mistake. That's why you're a bridegroom, to groom her in Christ.
True.
to build a value. It doesn't come for comparison. Ah, I wish my wife was like this guy I met outside, his side chick outside. There's nothing side about anything. Build your wife. Be the bridegroom and make your wife what you desire to be. And that's what Christ did for. He was patient with us. Even Christ is still patient with some of you. You know now. He's still patient. He's not bearing you. He loves you so much. He knows when you come like the prodigal son. He comes and hug you. That's what it should be in marriage. It's a difficult one, but that is what marriage is all about. We are embracing perfection. We begin to work together to make our lives work. That's what marriage is all about. There's no option. Are we together?
Yes.
I met a young lady many years ago. I was counseling her. We were about joining them 3 months to our wedding. And I was talking to her. She and this guy, they were always quarreling. I don't want to marry. Hallelujah. So the guy, I was talking to her. She told me, he said, this marriage, said, if I just marry now, the guy just do any, I will leave. He said, I'll leave. He said, as I'm talking to you, I have a property. I've not told him. My actual salary, I cannot even tell him. How you want to marry? I just said they should stop the premarital class that we're there. I say, come. I sat down. I say, you are not ready for marriage. Marriage is total submission. Don't marry a man you cannot submit to. Ladies, are you hearing? Don't marry because of ice cream, burger. That's why some of you are marrying. Can he perform? You did not hear that one. But that's why a lot of you marry. You get into marriage, you are looking out for the easy truth. Marriage is for life. When you come and you stand at the altar, you are making the confession. For better, for what? You are smiling. Some of you are just enjoying it. Your wedding gown is of parity. You never knew the confession you're confessing.
True.
You don't know it was like occultism, right? Court. It's covenant. Something is happening there. You are taking, but because it's church, you're happy. Your concern is reception. You are confessing what you don't know. Pastor says, see after me. I take you as well. Lord, you're smiling. For richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death God part. Amen. You may kiss your bride. You're happy. That's the one that's true. The real thing that you are confessing, you don't understand it.
True.
For richer, for poorer. Say, the reason I want to marry, because he works in oil company. He works in oil company. You know, my, the guy's in Warrior. He works in oil company. That's crap for us. Oh, yeah. Then you now marry the guy. 6 months after, they sack him. No oil. No oil again. Oil has gone. Now that your eye is clear. You don't say, hey, be a man, oh. Men are provider. Go and provide, oh. You are terrible. I don't even love my husband again because you marry oil. And you forgot the covenant you took on the altar when you were smiling. For better, for worse. For richer, for poorer. You forgot the meaning of that covenant. Because you were more excited in the reception. And you want to go and dance. And the wedding gown you sold for your cheap bridesmaid. And the one that did not come for your wedding that you already offended at. Without focusing on the main deal. You should be crying when you are taking covenant on the altar. It doesn't call for excitement. But our generation, they've turned into excitement. Because they want to go and boogie. They don't know what they are entering into. It is for better, for worse. I know we're trying to brand it. For better, for better. It doesn't work. For better, for better.
Reality.
For richer, for richer. For earth and earth. ask people that are married. Amen. Say, let's be positive. We are faith talkers. Hallelujah.
So this is really very powerful because a lot of us, a lot of people in this generation, they don't understand this. You don't think deep on these things.
Yeah.
You know, you don't think deep on the vows they are going to exchange. And that's why a lot of people choose casually and end up becoming casualties in marriage.
True.
They choose casually, just choose from a surface base. Don't think deep. What's marriage really about? You know, before they make their choices. They think on the wedding, they plan the wedding, but don't plan the marriage.
Yeah.
Oh, they look at this person. Oh, I'm going to make a very large reception. You know, very beautiful. All of that, colorful. Travel to this, travel to that. You know, go for honeymoon here and there. And by the time you come into the marriage, realize that there's no honeymoon, much more moon. You know, and then you realize that I chose casually, and then you start dealing with certain things that you could have prevented, but now you're trying to cure it.
Yeah.
And it's rather too late. Many times.
So let's add this scripture to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3. It said, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. Are you seeing the order? The head of a woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So what he's saying is that there is Christ, then man, then woman. So the woman is submitted to the man, and the man is submitted to Christ. So if you understand that order, as a woman, never submit to a man that is not submitted to Christ.
Yes.
Otherwise, you have problem.
True.
Are you listening to me? If you truly want to have marital bliss, be sure that the man is submitted to Christ. I'm not saying church goer. Many church goers don't submit to Christ. I mean, their will is constrained by Christ. They don't have a choice. You see, a lot of believers today say, Christians, how would I call them now?
Individuals,
church goers. Show me where it is in the Bible that fornication is a sin. And they go to church. Some even say leaders. Say, no, we can be having sex, can be praying the Holy Ghost. It depends on what your mind tells you, how you feel it. If you don't feel condemned, you are not condemned. Hey, Roku. There's a guy that wanted to marry my wife. He was a man of God many years ago. He told my wife, he said, he was telling my wife, he said, they should do it. They should do it too. He said, they're already married in heaven. And he quoted a scripture to back it up. He said, when Joseph was about to
betrothed to Mary.
Yes, when Joseph was about to leave Mary, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and he said, do not leave your wife, Mary. He now said, were they married? He said, no, they're not married. He said, in heaven, they're already married. So they just need the heads to just get married. You see devilish wisdom. Are you hearing devilish wisdom? Amen. Somebody said, the Bible says marriage is honorable with a bed undefiled. He said, let's not do it on the bed. Let's do it on the floor. Since the Bible says we should preserve the bed, we can do it in the car, on the floor, any other place. But the bed, let's preserve the bed. What a devilish wisdom. Are we together? So you must be sure that a man genuinely submits to Christ is a believer, not a church goer. Hallelujah. Then you can trust that you can submit to him. I can guarantee you that you will have a blissful marriage.
And just to add to what you said, you need to also be submitted as a woman to Christ, so you can even know who is submitted to Christ.
True.
Because many times you don't even know. Imagine the kind of instance my husband gave, using scripture to say, we can do it. Since we're not doing it on the bed, we're fine. So if you don't, you that's not submitted to Christ as a woman, if you're not submitted to Christ, you can't even know the fruits of the person who is submitted to Christ. Because it takes one who is in God to know one that is connected to God. Because there are fruits that shows when you are submitted to God. Check out what the person does on social media, how the person comments, what the person says, what the person posts. There are things you will see to show a man that is submitted to Christ. Listen to the content of his conversation. beyond just coming to church. Outside of church, how does he behave? What does he say? The content of his conversation. What does he discuss? You need to check out all of those things, because if not, you will not even know who is submitted. Anybody can come around and manipulate you. Manipulation is very easy.
Yeah.
When you are not rooted in Christ. If you are not well planted in Christ, you cannot know the fruits of Christianity. Because a demonstration is not in speech. Somebody can write hashtag, I'm submitted to Christ. I am a Christian, but doesn't leave the hashtags.
Mm.
So it's a lifestyle you need to watch deliberately to know a man or a woman that is submitted to Christ.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So a man of God just cry and say, come to the hotel. Come to the hotel. I want to pray with you. And you go to the hotel. And they start making advances at you. I say, am I not your father in the Lord? Am I not your father in the Lord? You need to submit to my authority. Some of you just be confused. The reason why I gave him is because he said I should submit, so I submitted. You don't know God. That's what we're talking about. That you yourself should know God for yourself.
Yes, sir.
It's time. We'll still have question and answer. You see some people to ask question. Sir, I love this Yahoo boy. He loves me too. How do you rate the love that he loves you too? He wants this for ritual. He loves me too. He has said that the only way he will get married to me if I can have a child for him. What should I do? And he's a Christian that asks, so not a native doctor, a Christian that is in church, asking that kind of a question. It shows that there is a problem in our generation that people don't know Christ. You are now confused. Pastor, I'm in love with four guys. I am confused. They told me to go to a prophet in Onitsha. I went to see the prophet. They told me to go to another prophet. Now I'm confused. Which one should I pick? You don't know Christ. You don't yet have the Holy Ghost. And that's why you are confused. You can't carry the Holy Ghost and you are confused. How can you carry the Holy Ghost and you are confused? Are we together? So you need to know Christ, so that you'll be able to submit to a man that carry Christ. If you don't carry Christ, you can't identify the one that carries Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? Talk now. Are we together? Wrong submission ideas. Number one, I can't submit to a man. Many ladies say this one. I can't submit to a man. You know why they say it? They say submission is slavery. I cannot enter into marriage and a man just tie me down. For what? I cannot submit to a man. Well, I've seen a lot of them on social media. You know, they're everywhere. They say, I'm a feminist. We have rights. You must understand that submission is not inferiority.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
Submission is not slavery. Submission is partnership. Are we together? It is partnership. It's we are working together. It's like driving a car and having just one driver so that you can sit and trust that this man can drive you. But some say, I cannot submit to a man. So you hold the steering and the man holds the steering. Two of you will die.
Yeah, no direction.
Amen? The man is taking this steering. You are dragging it like I say, no. What will happen to both of you? You will both die. You get it? So submission is not slavery. Number 2 points people say, I will only submit to him if he's perfect. I will only submit to him if he's what? If he's perfect. Listen, we do not submit to human perfection because there is no human that is perfect. We submit to man because of Christ. Are we together? So there's no man that is perfect. So if you are expecting perfection before you can submit, You are making what a mistake. Mm. Even my wife, when she met me, she saw imperfections. I listen, imperfections. It started the day we were to eat together for the first time after marriage. Imperfections. Hallelujah. When she got married, her mother told her that she should buy plates, buy golden spoon, that you need to serve your husband. Serve him well. Dining table, arrange the table, cook for him. So she cooked for me. She served the food on dining table. She said, baby, come and eat. So I went to the dining table. I just took plates, dished my food. There was cutlery, fork, knife, spoon, some scissors to cut some things. I don't know what they call it. So I just dished my food, carried my spoon, sat down on the floor of my laptop, and I was eating. She said, baby, no. You have to eat on the dining table. I said, no, I don't eat on it. I said, this is why. Come and join me. She said, no, it's dining table. I said, no, it's dining table. We're done the quarrel. Because me, when I grow up, we do it on dining table. Dining table is designed in the house. How many of you did that? Correct people. Some of you eat on the bed, eh? Do you know what makes the food sweet? After you finish eating on the, you are watching film. Oh, what's dining table? What's dining table? You will watch film, be eating. You now sleep off. Hallelujah. That the plate can be in the room for another 3 days. You have not washed it. So I told my wife, she said, we're married now. You have to eat on dining table. I said, I don't know how to eat on dining table. You eat on dining table. I don't know how to eat on dining table. She said, hey, she don't marry. That's me, she has married. She needed to accept me like that. Amen. Some of you, the home you come from, all of you, when you want to eat, daddy has to come back from work, mommy has to come back from all this. Everybody, they serve the food together in a big pro. All of you are eating together, family eats together. Hallelujah. Your mother will not cut the meat because it's Emeka, you take your own. Jennifer, you take your own. You take your own. You understand? Me, I don't know how to eat like that. 12 years in marriage, I don't think myself and my wife have heard from the same plate. I don't know how to eat from the same plate. I'm a voracious eater. My wife is one, so she's like, Who got that time? Who got that time? The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is long suffering, not for food. I can't suffer long. They chop them. Are we together? So this is what you see in marriage. You realize that this place is not like you.
Yeah.
You guys are not perfect. So, but you just have to make marriage work. There's something you should say. The marriage is not the coming together of two perfect hearts.
It's coming together of two imperfect hearts working towards perfection.
And as we walk towards perfection, it's not going to be easy.
But marriage
is worth fighting for. Are we together? Wrong perception on submission. Submission means I must shut up and have no opinion. That is wrong. That is wrong. Submission doesn't mean that you don't have a voice. You can have a voice as a woman, and yet you are submitted. Are we together? Submission means I should tolerate abuse. That's not submission. Amen. God hates oppression. So the fact that we say make your marriage work by all means doesn't mean that you find yourself in an abusive marriage. You should not separate. You should separate so that you don't go and die. Hallelujah. And if you are finding yourself in an abusive relationship, I don't think you should venture into marriage. emotional abuse, verbal abuse, slapping abuse, physical abuse, amen? You understand? But you should not venture into marriage. Hallelujah. Submission ideas, one of the again people say, my money is my money, his money is our money. That's the wrong mindset of submission. What's the correct thing? My money is our money, your money is our money. Amen. The Bible said concerning Adam and Eve, he said they were naked and they were not ashamed. So that's what marriage is all about. We are open to ourselves. Praise the name of the Lord. So there's no financial secrecy. Praise the name of the Lord. Submission. Submission means that if I submit, you take advantage of me. That is wrong. A submissive woman must be less gifted or educated. You see some men, they want to get married. Hallelujah. There was a guy that came to ask one of my daughters out. So they went out to go and eat. So the guy is a medical doctor. So it was just, you see, I'm a medical doctor. You see, I studied abroad. I'm a medical doctor. He was just talking. It was just, you know, medical doctor. So because in his mind, is big. So he asked the lady, he said, so what do you do? The lady said, finally, he decided to listen to me. He said, the young girl said, I'm a PhD holder. The guy said, Jesus. Odogu. And that's how the guy ran away. He ran away. Why did he run away? He said, this one is a PhD that cannot submit to me. I don't know why a lot of people have that wrong mentality. Have you seen some ladies, they want to buy a car and they are single, they tell them, don't buy a car, also you see husband tomorrow. It's a wrong mindset. Don't buy a car, don't do business, so don't be too rich, so that you will see a man tomorrow. Amen? It's a wrong mindset. Because many men believe that a woman that is submissive is one that is less gifted or less educated. It is very wrong. Are we together? My wife is gifted and educated and submits perfectly. So we have women like that. They exist. Are we together? They exist. Praise the name of the Lord. Some wrong mindset again is that submission means I must choose my spouse over God. That's also wrong. So let's talk about men. Wrong impression for men.
Impressions men have about women. Women are only emotional. They don't reason well. That's a wrong mindset. There are men that will not listen to their wives. They can listen to their fellow men, but will never listen to their wives. They will never take correction from their wives. Because they feel like women are emotional, they don't reason well. That's a wrong mindset. And if you're already observing that, you're in a relationship with a man, a guy, you're already observing that, you need to run. Any man who listens to their fellow gender but cannot listen to you, does not accept correction from you, is not a teachable person. Such a person would frustrate you in marriage. That marriage will not be able to grow. Another wrong mindset is a woman's place is only in the kitchen and bedroom. It's rather unfortunate that even in this time, even with the economy in this time, there are men who have such poor mindsets. They believe that a woman's place is in the kitchen. That's the only thing she knows how to do, in the bedroom. If you're already seeing tendencies, imagine a man telling you, oh, you know what, when we get married, I can't wait for you to cook. If you go to work, no, I won't be able to eat 24/7. That kind of man, listen again, understand what he's really saying, so that you know if you are to marry that kind of person.
And some of you believe it does exist. It still exists.
It still exists, yes.
You see some men, they say, no, I don't want you to be working too much. I need you to stay in the house. So just stay in the house.
Yes.
And they're already scared.
Yes.
Amen.
I had a guy then that wanted to get married to me. He told me that I cannot wait for us to get married, so I'll be washing his clothes. In the days of washing machine.
So whilst it's not bad to assist your husband,
yes,
and do house chores, but you see, if that is the reason why you are married, you're already seeing your wife as what? A tool and not a partner.
Yes.
Are we together? If she earns more, she will disrespect me. Many men believe that too. If she what? Earns more, she what? She will disrespect me. That is a wrong mindset. Wrong mindset. God bless you with a woman and she's already doing well. You now tell her, go and resign. As simple like that. The woman is receiving 1.5 million. They promoted her. Business is doing very well. And the man's salary was 150,000 naira. And all of a sudden, the woman comes home, she submits, bring the money and all the stuff. But the man is still insecure. Say, go and resign. The head of the house must have a salary higher than the subordinates. So now that your salary is bigger than mine, you have to resign. And the woman resigned. Amen.
You know, the interesting thing, many times some of these signs are seen when you are in the conversation stage, during your courtship period with the person. There was a guy that we're just talking, I was asking questions, just very light conversation, we're just talking, he took me out. And then he just said, he didn't know when, I don't know that he knew when it fell out of his mouth. He said, I cannot marry a woman that is receiving a salary higher than me. Because many times you don't need to sit to ask questions bluntly, like you want to sit, hold a conference call, or confront the person. It's just casual conversations. You are listening to the content of that conversation. Like, wow, hey, for this person to say it, may not be talking about you, I'm talking about somebody else. Ah, no, I cannot. Ha, that I cannot is already a red flag. Immediately he said it, I said, before this one we proposed to me, I already said no to him. So these kind of things, don't ignore these kind of signs before you start seeing the fruits in marriage.
Are we together? Women should not have dreams bigger than the home. So many men believe that women should not dream. They should not dream big. What's your plan for 5 years? They don't want a woman to have a plan. Woman say, I want to go back to school. I want to have my PhD. I want to have my master's. I want to start up a career. No, it's not possible in this house. Are you not okay? Are you not satisfied? Are we understanding? On that point again. Apologizing is weakness. The woman should always be the one sorry. Many men believe that. It's the woman that must apologize. The woman does wrong, she says, I'm sorry. The man does wrong, the woman says she's sorry. That's wrong. Many men believe that they cannot apologize. It's a weakness for them to apologize. Many men. Many of us learned it from our parents as well too. We never saw our parents apologize. Our fathers. Because they are the head of the house. They don't apologize. So even if they make obvious mistakes, all of us know that daddy has made mistake. Daddy will never apologize. So you took that culture now into your own marriage. You can't apologize to a woman. It is very wrong. You are indirectly tearing the marriage apart. Praise the name of the Lord. Women should endure anything, including abuse, for the sake of marriage. We have established that abuse is sin. God does not bless injustice or violence. So must understand that. So we are done with submission, right? So let's go to number two. We're talking about
building
a kingdom marriage. Number two, choose and leave your custom. How do you build a kingdom marriage? Choose and leave your custom.
Your custom, your values, what people should know you for. So whereas we are working in an office, you're working, you're serving a church, you're in a church, what do people know you for? You are in that bus. What do people know you for? It's very important. Your custom is a lifestyle. The Bible says in Luke 4 verse 16, it says, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom
was,
he went into the synagogue. Jesus was known for something. He
yes.
was known for going to the synagogue. He was known for teaching.
He had a custom.
He had a custom. People should be able to describe you. Don't confuse people's description about you. When somebody asks, who is this lady? They should be able to say something consistently about you. It's not that in church you are spiritual, outside of church you are a different person.
Yeah.
Or you are the guy in church, you know, you speak in tongues, you know. People say, this man, guy is a prayer warrior, but outside, you are the one that ever instigate wars. So they need to know you for something. When somebody asks, well, who is this person? There should be a track record of good character that you live by. So what's your custom? Because you see, marriage is the union of two people that have customs, and you carry it into marriage. You carry whatever you are, whatever you display into marriage. You've heard of this popular saying that charity begins at home, but it doesn't end there. So you carry whatever you have been used to over time. And if what you have been used to is something bad, you carry it into marriage and you spoil your marriage. Someone needs to know, oh, this person is proud. Maybe somebody tells you, somebody's asking somebody, what can you say about this person in choir? Say, very proud singer. Very proud. She's very rude. It doesn't stay well. So, and it's very important that before you begin to choose who is right or look out for who is right, it's important that you need to look at yourself. Evaluate you. What has been your lifestyle? What has been your attitude? What has been your values? What has been your standard? Because I've come to realize that many people are looking for the right person, but they are not right themselves. You're not right. You are praying. You have a prayer, but Lord, give me the right husband. Give me the right wife. But you are not right. Ask yourself, can I marry myself like this? Can I marry me? With this kind of attitude, can I marry me? I have a protege that's the guy's very sincere. He was having a conversation with me, and he told me, he said, in this state that I am, I'm praying for a change, because if I marry somebody in this state, I will ruin the person's life.
Mm.
Be sincere with yourself. Examine yourself. Can I marry me? Are there things that I need to intentionally work on? Nobody's perfect, but you must be a work in progress.
Yeah.
Must be able to accept certain things and say, this is it. You know, I remember before I got married, I used to feel like, I had one or two friends who would tell me that, you don't know how to apologize. And I didn't think that it was a big deal. I'm like, I don't even get people upset easily, so which one is, I don't know how to apologize. That followed me into marriage. It became a problem between me and my husband in our earlier years of marriage. When I am wrong, I will not apologize. I will hold ground. I've been holding ground before I got married, so I carried it into marriage. Who you are will not change the day you are exchanging vows.
True.
Exchange of vows don't change a person.
Yeah.
You carry what you are used to in time. So what is your custom? What do people know you for? Do you have standards? Are there things you live by? Are your values? You look at it and say, there are things I will not do. There are things I will do. Others may do, but I cannot.
Yeah.
Are there things like that? Because listen, if you don't have a standard, anybody, you can choose just anybody, man and man, woman and woman. But if you have a standard, you'll be deliberate about looking for who stands out.
Mm.
So it's very important. What are your standards? What are you living by? Such that, because listen, when you have a consistent standard, it's not the one that somebody is trying to do for you. You have a standard. You'll be able to select easily. You are not confused about who you want to bring into your space. Because you have something that you are going by, something that you are living by. Praise God.
And finally, this, improve your character and your circle. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 shows us the fruit of the Spirit that is expected of every believer. He said, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. This should be your character. It should be evident in you. I don't know what came over me that I slapped her. It's not the fruit of the Spirit. I don't know what came over me that I said waka to him. Hallelujah. Some of you are so nice until you break up. So nice. I love you. Oh, you can sacrifice. Open the door. Now, the guy say, I'm breaking up with you. God punish you. Punish your father. Punish your mother. Punish everything. The boy say, praise God. Thank God I broke up with this girl. Her true color came out. You are going nowhere. We die. Your character, it matters. People are watching you. People are seeing your attitude. That's why some people, by now, they are not married. Not because they are not ready for marriage. They are ready for marriage, but their character is limiting them.
True.
Limiting them. How you eat, how you talk, how you greet people, what you post on your status, really, really matters. Really matter. I'm telling you, people are watching you. Some of you, your character is that you're always depressed. You just put on social media, I'm depressed. Or your status, they all, I'm depressed. All people, yeah, she's depressed again. You're always depressed. Always up at night. I'm lonely. Let's talk. Amen. You always have problem. When people, your friends can't pick your call again because it's only problem. You don't share good news, no testimony, nothing about your life, always bad news. We say, but it's only bad news that put on me. No! All of us have challenges in life. But what makes us stand is that we overlook that or begin to confess what Christ says concerning us. That's what is more important. I used to tell my church, I say, people will think you have a problem. If all of us sit down and start talking problem, right, you'll be surprised. Some of you will leave your problem and say, Reverend, let me help you carry your own too. Because I'm laughing. Laughter is attractive. Joy is attractive. Be joyful. Smile. Don't carry problem everywhere. That's why they're not picking your call. I'm telling you now. Say, he's not picking my call again. He's not picking my call. Because it's problem. So if you borrow money, you will not pay, and you want to marry. You want to marry. You borrow money. You are not paid. They are spoiling your name everywhere. The guy that should marry you now, where you borrowed money now, they've sent him a message. They've sent your picture to the guy. This guy has borrowed 50,000 naira from us. If you see her, be careful. They've sent it to the man that wants to marry you. You are spoiling your name everywhere. Character is key. Am I telling somebody? Character is what? Key. When I met my wife, I wasn't... Listen. I met my wife in Asaba here when I came for youth service. Hallelujah. 2009. Came for youth service. So I was seven in church. She came to church as well too. She was heartbroken. Somebody broke her heart. You know, so pastor was counseling her. Pastor called me, Ois. He said, Ois, please take care of Anwali. She just joined church. I was the youth president there. I said, take care of Anwali. He just joined church. Just make him comfortable. Pastor trusted me because I have character. He recommended me to take care of her. Some of you, we can't recommend you to take care of an opposite sex. The girl will get pregnant. We don't trust you. Are you listening? You must toast the girl. Every girl that joins church, they'll say, I know say Kool-Aid or toast them. And if they go and find out Kool-Aid or toast them, and you want to marry. You want to marry? Pastor come and say, Ois, take care of this girl. He knew that the girl will be safe with me. We can't trust you to get. We cannot have all nights now in this auditorium now. It's only me and one girl that is here. Pastor say, let's go. I want to leave both of you. They can't leave both of you. They cannot. You don't have integrity. Amen. They cannot. Then, of course, my wife was in my spec then, so we're working together. We're serving God together, everything. We're so close, we're friends. So close. After 1 year, two or 3 years after serving God together, and I said, God now told me that she was going to be the one. Long story short, I called her, I said, will you marry me? In 3 days, she gave me a yes. Why was it fast? Why? In 3 years, she has seen my character. She's not confused. Some of you, they are confused. They can't give you a yes because from choir, you don't go beer parlor. We don't know who you are. You are not a prayer point, God. Is it the one? Is it? I wasn't a prayer point. You are a prayer point. We are not sure whether you are godly or you are. May the Lord help you in Jesus' name.
And just to add, still on improving character, right? Don't always go with the world, that's how I am.
Mm.
Somebody's pointing out something wrong about you. That's how I am. That's how I am. If you don't need me, go, go, go. That's why people are going. Be intentional about improving yourself. I mean, none of us, not me, him. I mean, there are things that we didn't like about ourselves that we're constantly improving on. Don't just stay there and say, that's how I am. Even in marriage, your spouse complains about certain things that they don't like. And like, that's how I am. That's how I am. Grow yourself. You must improve in yourself. Growth in itself is attractive.
And one way to grow yourself as well, to your circle matters. Your
yes,
friends.
Your circle.
I have friends that have sense. Mm. That are believers.
Yes.
You can pray together. Not always.
Having negative conversations.
Your circle is all you people talk about is man.
Faithful
man. Man. The problem about men. That man sleep with this girl. That man sleep with this girl. That's the only thing you talk about all your life. You will know 5 years after, you have not grown. Marry people that, I say marry, be in circles of people that have vision. It's iron that sharpens iron. If you are in a circle with a rapist, soon you should start raping people. Are we together? Be in a circle of believers, people that believe that it is possible to marry right. It is possible to have a godly marriage. It's very possible. Limit your circle to people that have sense. It's very important. You realize that very soon you become sensible. Praise the name of the Lord. So if you have some friends you need to cut off from, please cut them off today, okay? People who mock marriage, cut them off today. Hallelujah. Were you blessed? Hallelujah. So, if we have the question, let's go straight to the questions and answers. If you have questions, you can. The ushers are going around. If you want the mic to talk and say, this is my question, I can't write it. I need to express my heart. You can raise your hand and we can get a mic for you so that you can. Okay, we have some people over there. So can we get a mic, please? Thank you. Okay, these questions here, they are... Don't collect any question, you know. Amen. Okay, yeah, go on.
Thank you very much. Why you were speaking, your wife make a statement concerning a lady... or a tradition. This happened in a church and they brought it to my table and I need the answer to it. What do you do to a lady whose parents said this is their tradition? The lady must be pregnant before they will approve the guy for marriage. And the only option, the lady said he will obey what the mother said, or the father will not look at her or to say anything. She must be pregnant. So,
okay, praise the Lord. So, that is their tradition. That the other person has his own tradition. I will not bend my tradition because I want to suit your tradition.
The guy does not have tradition. He's just a new believer. What we're trying to... These are just new believers, and the only options you will get from them is to go to another church and do. Should we allow them to go to another church and do, or should we obey their tradition?
And you can't aid and abate. So if he decides to go to another church to go and do what he needs to do, he can go. Every church has their culture. I believe your church has its own culture. You get? So in my church, I would not do that and I will not be a part of it. So there are some churches they allow for that. You can go and impregnate somebody to get married. So everything has to do with culture and values. You understand? So there are values that I uphold, and I guess there are values you uphold in your church, and you can't allow for it.
Okay.
And many a times, okay.
See,
yes.
The two people are lawyer sons, but their parents are constraining them.
Okay. No. It's not about. The question is not about parent now. You say impregnate my wife, my daughter before you marry. You don't stand for that. That's what is more important. No matter how loyal they are, it's not about loyalty. Sometimes the good has to go so that the best will come. The problem we face is that we don't know how to let people go. We are trying to change people to become what we are, and they are not ready to change. You get? Advise them, godly standard, and they say they don't want to, and they want to go. Then there's no problem. Trust God for new members. Praise the name of the Lord. There's one over there.
Good evening, sir.
Sorry, there are people who have some issue. When we started our church, at early stage of church, you know, and this is common with very young churches, though we're trying to put our structure in place. That's where you see a lot of these things. People join our church, form of loyalty, and they want to bring their own custom and their culture and tradition, you know, and we were scared to lose. I've been there. But you see, I have to tell myself, I said, I'm building. When you see big churches, what makes big churches successful is that they have their custom. This one, everybody knows that you cannot cross here. So we're not going to be bending the goalposts for anybody that comes to our church. We can't be bending the goalposts. You know, these are custom. We don't allow this here. If you want to go, no problem. God bless you. I've had a lot of people who have left church because of that. But however, the people who came are to bend into our custom and our tradition. Praise the name of the Lord.
Good evening, sir. Good evening, church. Thank you so much, sir, for biblical truths and wisdom you shared. I have three questions to ask. Number one. The use of ring as a seal of marriage covenant.
The use of what?
Of
ring.
Ring.
Okay.
As a seal of marriage covenant. Is it biblical and scriptural? Number two, since marriage is not a contract, is it a kingdom lifestyle for couples to have court marriage? And number three, since God hates divorce and not the divorcee, is it wrong to marry a divorcee?
Amen. Beautiful questions. Hallelujah. No. Give me the mic. Let's start from one so that in case I forget. So give me the mic. So the first one you asked is that, is ring what?
Is ring. Is it biblical?
Okay, there's nowhere in scripture where ring is not in the Bible where you need to use ring. Hallelujah. Ring is man's invention to show it's symbolic of what marriage is. So the unending circle, we have to wear our rings to just depict the fact that our marriage is going to last. So when we see the ring, it just reminds us that, oh, we are married and this thing is for eternity. It's just a symbol. You understand? So people have asked myself and my wife, you guys don't wear ring. We've not worn ring for the past 11 years. You know? So in some churches, you realize that they use Bible, you know, as a symbol. You understand? Some, they don't even wear ring. They don't believe in ring. Hallelujah. You know, what matters most is the covenant you have with God. So ring is symbolic. It's just a symbol. So in our church, whatever you want to use as a symbol, we bless it and use it for you. If you want a ring, we pray for the ring and we'll give it to you. If you want a Bible, we pray for the Bible and we'll give it to you. Ring is just a symbol. It's not a sign of faithfulness. Women, it's not a sign of what? Faithfulness. Men, it's not a sign of favor. Wear your ring before you leave the house. Wait! People wear ring and they cheat in this generation. Is a symbol, is not a sign of what? Faithfulness. Next question.
Question number two. Since marriage is not a contract, is it a kingdom lifestyle for couples to have court marriage?
It is. It is. The reason why court marriage is important is that you are under a government in Nigeria. Or wherever you are based, you are under a government. And we must respect the authority of the government, of the land. And one way to show that you are married is that your marriage must be registered and conducted by the government. So you cannot now do a traditional marriage. The government does not recognize you as married. So that is the reason why we do these three marriages. The traditional marriage is symbolic because that is the one that shows that your parent has handed you over to your spouse. That has to do with your family and the lady's family. The court marriage has to do with both of you and government. And the church marriage has to do with both of you and God. Praise the name of the Lord. So these three marriages are symbolic and they are very important that you go through them. Praise the Lord.
Question number three. Since God hates divorce, not the divorcee, is it wrong to marry a divorcee?
Amen. There's nothing wrong if you want to marry a divorcee. What is more important is that you need to find out why he or she divorced. You must find out very well. Carry out your research. Get all the information you can get to be sure you know the reason why they divorced. So when you get the information and realize the information is very clean, then you can go ahead and get married. Praise the name of the Lord. One more last question before we go to these ones here. There's somebody at the back.
Hallelujah. So my question is,
yes,
okay,
I'm with you.
Where in a situation where a woman says maybe you need someone you are in courtship with, and whatever you've been doing for her, you've been taking care of her responsibilities even in school and the rest of it, but anytime she gives anything in, maybe in commemoration, friends will hear it, everybody will hear it, and you're still in courtship.
Sorry, I don't understand.
That, okay, you are in courtship with somebody.
You are in courtship with somebody. Yeah. You pay the person's school fees.
Yes, you take care of her.
You take care of her.
Even most times celebrate birthdays. And
yes.
Then one time, if she gives you an airtime, maybe.
If she gives you airtime.
Nigeria will hear it. It may appear on the news.
Okay, so what do you want us to do now? Give him the mic. What does he want us to do? What's the question now? Give him the mic.
Okay, sir. Is he a red flag or something we should pray about?
That's a red flag. So it depends on what she's telling the world. There are some people, if they do something for you, you do something for them, they just, from a very sincere heart, they just want to talk about it. To tell their friends that, oh, you know, I bought airtime for my man. I bought a phone for my man. You understand? That one is good. If the reason why she's saying it is that, can you imagine, I'm buying airtime for him. He cannot pay school fees. He cannot do this one. He's just chopping my money. All this kind of stuff. That becomes a red flag. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Salma, for these teachings. I'm blessed. And so my question is, as a Christian, you are not meant to have premarital sex. So what happens when you get married only to find out that the bedroom performance is very poor? Should I continue? Only to find out that the calm down now. That the bedroom performance is very poor and not what you expected. How then do you cope with the sex dissatisfaction in the marriage, and how do you make it work in that situation? Hallelujah. Amen. When people try to rate sexual performance, many a times it is because they experimented so much in their singlehood. They experimented so much in their singlehood. Many of them have been exposed to porn, exposed to all manner of terrible sexual ungodly styles. So when they get married, they want to experiment this stuff, and they expect that their wife or their husband should be like the bulldog that they were watching on TV. Let me tell you, it is not your spouse that has problem, it is you. You now that is rating what sexual performance is, that is now the problem. I'm sure you have been addicted to all manner of sexual escapade. What do you do? And this is for single people. Please, I beg in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you can, as much as possible, totally avoid porn, singles. Because it's going to affect your marriage. This kind of question, you ask it. Avoid porn. Am I telling somebody? Avoid what? Porn. You think you are learning sex there? You're not learning sex there. You are damaging yourself. Did Adam and Eve give birth? Yes. The Bible says, and Adam knew Eve. Oh God. Knew Eve. Adam didn't watch porn. Eve did not watch porn. They knew, the first man and woman, they knew what to do. So you are like, I need to know what to do. That is why I'm watching it. Did Adam watch porn? I didn't know what to do. I didn't know. And he did it well. If he didn't do it well, he would not give birth. Are we together? So you must understand that fact, that anytime you expose yourself to porn, masturbation, you are damaging yourself more than you think you are having pleasure. Because when you now get married, you'll be under pressure to have those performances. Many of you don't know that those things are productions. They are re-edited, cut sometimes. They show you multiple cut intakes. That's why here our generation say, the person I want to get married to, the person must be able to go 7 rounds. 10 rounds. We hear that in church. It's because of what you have been exposed to. Sex should come natural for any man and a woman. Sex should what? Come natural. And sex is learnt in marriage. There are no rules to sex. You get into marriage and you learn sex. You ask your wife questions, your wife asks you questions. You guys begin to learn sex and know what is convenient for you, and you are good. So when you get into marriage, maybe you have baggages, terrible baggages in your brain, and you're expecting performance. Try to drop that baggage of what performance is all about and sit with your spouse, and you guys begin to learn sex and know what works for both of you. Myself and my wife, we learned sex. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And our template cannot be any other person's template. Everybody has their unique template in marriage. So I beg you in the name of God, so that you not be asking questions like this. Avoid porn. Avoid friends who talk about sex in a very demeaning way. They say the only way you can enjoy sex, you have to go 10 rounds. There's nothing like 10 rounds. From research, best sex is usually 5 minutes and 10 minutes. Are you listening to me? 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But that's not what they taught you people. The guy has to perform. Give me heart. Give me baby. You will soon die.
Amen. There's a question here. If you have a good character and you are good, but the man you want to marry is always shutting you up if you want to talk. He doesn't allow you to share your opinion. What should you do? You've gotten the answer from the crowd. You are not yet married and this is happening. I mean, prevention is always better than cure. This is not a red flag. This is a red billboard. So you already know the answer. Amen.
Sir, is it a must that you must marry who God orchestrated for you? If yes, what if the person God tells you to marry is somebody that you don't like and also not physically attracted to? Will you still marry her? Praise the name of the Lord. I think when God directs you to somebody, it's actually, when God gives you an instruction, it's actually a complete package. You may not be totally attracted to the person, but there must be a level of attraction. You understand? There must be a level of what? Attraction. You know, where you are not seeing no attraction, you don't feel like talking to the person, you don't feel like being where the person is, and you say, God said, that may be a problem. You need to go and check the voice again. Because God will not be with you in the marriage, helping you every day. You have to live with the person. You must love or like the person you are getting married to. There must be what? A level of attraction. And you must also understand that attraction can be built. You know, when we started school, I said, my wife was not my spec. But that doesn't mean that there was no level of attraction. There were things in her that I saw that I liked. Then every other thing, I built it. I can't marry my enemy. I can't marry somebody I don't like.
Attraction is broad, honestly. You know, people get these questions a lot. You can meet someone that you're not, you know, attracted to. But when you open your heart, you see that there are other forms of attraction. There's mental attraction. How the person thinks, is that's the form of attraction. There is spiritual attraction. How the person loves God, that's an attraction. There is intellectual attraction. You know, how the person reasons, how intelligent the person is. You know, just like my husband said, he wasn't, I wasn't his spec. He wasn't my spec when I mean, right? What I mentioned earlier, listen, please. I mentioned earlier that when I watch him have conversations, he's really very intelligent. So that was an intellectual form of attraction for me that got me, you know, opened my mind to him, watched him. And before he knew it, after observing that, he's intelligent, he does this, and I started noticing that, he has some muscles, you know, when he walks, some swag, you know. So I'm saying that when you open your heart to other forms of attraction, you begin to notice that the attraction, physical attraction, will not begin to grow whilst you open your heart to other form of attraction. So you can meet somebody that is short. So you're like, no, I don't like this person. The person is short. The person can be short, but the person is very high when it comes to values. The person is very intelligent. The person is very hardworking. These are forms of attraction. So don't box it, okay? Open your heart and attraction grows.
I have soft spot for ladies, especially if you are kind-hearted, milk, industrious. In fact, I can easily like you because of the way you smile and talk and all. ... Please, how do I go about it? That's the question. You are blessed. You are blessed. What do you say about men with the mentality of not kneeling down to propose? Does it matter? This generation, This generation. Is kneeling down to propose in the Bible? Is it in the Bible? Say we should discard it. Amen, 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 amen. There's nothing wrong if a man does not believe in kneeling down to propose to you. Are you together? There's nothing wrong if the man doesn't kneel down to propose to you. Hallelujah. It may be, the man may have reasons why he's not kneeling down to propose to you. Number one, for public disappointment's sake. So that he will not kneel down and you slap him. Because that's what is raining now. So he doesn't want to go there. Number two, the man believes that kneeling down is not a sign of love. And the truth is that kneeling down is not what? The sign of love. Are you listening? So maybe the man is telling you that I don't believe in public proposal. You know, this one that you get saxophone, you know, and the prayer. They say, will you marry me? Yes, yes, yes. And he's on Facebook. Hallelujah. He doesn't believe in all that. That should not be a problem. Your priority should be marriage. Amen. And how successful your marriage will be. Not those display. It's very common in our generation today. Hallelujah. When it was my turn for myself and my wife to get married, hallelujah, we didn't do all those stuff. I just went to go and meet her. It was my friend's house in Asabaye. I could never take her to a fast food joint. I said, babe, you want to learn my toasting skill? I said, babe, we've been together, we've been friends for so long. I know I stay in pastor's house, I'm squatting in pastor's house, but that doesn't mean I can't take care of you. If you marry me, I'll take you around the world. And in 1 year time, I'll get married to you. I just told her like that. She smiled, said, who is? Who is? I knew my world has penetrated. Then 3 days after, she gave me a yes. No paparazzi, nothing, nothing. When it was time to marry, a week to our wedding, hey, you've not bought the ring. You've not bought the ring. I just went down. My church is close to the market. I just went to the market. I just saw a 600 naira ring. And I priced it. The marriage, the outside marriage, he just took this 600 naira ring. I went back to the office. She was there. I said, where the ring? She wore it. So the moment she wore it, I put it back. I said, we'll use it to get married. That week, we got married. Hallelujah. The marriage is 12 years strong. What's my point? Don't be under pressure, please. You get your it's not a display on social media and all those stuff. I've seen all those display. After display, you go and break up. It doesn't make sense. Does it make sense? And I don't know why you people lie to yourself when it comes to this display. You'll be sleeping with the person all these years. You might be fornicating. Then all of a sudden, the person comes and say, will you marry? You're crying. Emeka. Yes. Then you now put your status. I never knew he was going to propose. And you'll be fornicating. Why are you lying to yourself? I never knew. What kind of a thing is that? May the Lord help you in Jesus' name. Amen. May he renew your heart. May he be genuine believers in Jesus' name. You can take one question and that will be all.
Yeah. There's a question here. It says, is it right for a man to ask a woman what she'll bring to the table before marrying her? Because I don't think my dad asked my mom that question. You say no. I don't say anything wrong with the question. For a man asking, it takes partnership to make a marriage work.
True.
In your father's time, your generation, your parents' time, there are many men, many fathers who didn't want their wives to work. And you know, there are many ladies who have a very funny mindset that is the man to bring money. If the man doesn't bring, you know, we quote scripture. They quote scripture, this scripture very easily, that a man who cannot take care of his household is worse than an infidel. That's a male man and a female man. It takes two people to make marriage work. So probably the man is observing that, this probably the lady is lazy. She's not thinking of, I'm going to provide, I'm going to contribute, you know, to certain things in the home. You know, those kind of questions in courtship. Maybe he's observing and like, what are you going to bring to the table? Because really, I mean, more efforts, many things are done or done successfully in marriage when the two persons come together to make it work, even for finance. If one person is working and is the only one always bringing, always the one bringing, and the woman, the wife doesn't have much, she's not contributing anything, it's going to drain the other party. However, if it is a consent, it's a mutual consent before you got married, my wife shouldn't work, that's up to you to agree with. But if the man is saying that, you know what, I want a woman who is working, a woman who should contribute, there's nothing wrong with it. What are you bringing to the table? Even before the man asks you, you should be having such discussions like, okay, you know what, how do we analyze our salary? How do we analyze the income that comes in? You know, how many percentage do we run a joint account? Do we run? These are things that you should be talking about during courtship. So it's a very good question. There's nothing wrong with it.
Ladies, this shouldn't be a question. You should be bringing something to the table. Let it not be a question. You understand? Even relationship, it's not gimme, 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 gimme. You can give. Hallelujah. Am I telling somebody? You should be bringing something to the table. When my wife, when myself and my wife were in courtship about to get married, she came and she analyzed my finance like this. I said, ah, no, no, you're not doing well in your finance. It's not going to cut down expense and everything. And she began to save for me, save my finance. When we got married, we had a savings. I mean, we had savings that could sustain us for another 1 year. Because she was saving. She brought something to the table. This generation is gimme, gimme, gimme. Why will he be asking me what am I bringing to the table? Bring something. They don't need to ask you now. Sometimes buy him something. Sometimes save money. Sometimes say, this is how much we have saved. This is our marriage. I was able to get 800,000. Get something on the table. Don't sit down there, fold your leg, and you are doing nothing. You are not adding value. It's just gimme, gimme, gimme. It's very wrong.
And idleness is not attractive. Or you are stingy also. It's not attractive. Attitude. The person won't over time just get bored.
So let's take this as the last question, please. Good evening, Salma. Please, what is your take on marrying a Christian but from a different denomination of which some doctrines do not sit well with you? This is a very beautiful question. Yeah. Hallelujah. When we say do not be unequally yoked with unbeliever, sometimes as well, it still goes for believers as well too, in the body of Christ. You can't marry from everywhere. And let me tell you, the best place to marry from is actually your local church. It's problem-free, doctrinal-free. You people share the same value, you have the same spiritual head. So when I see some guy say, I've been in COT all these years, I've not found a girl, you have a problem. All these beautiful guests here. Beautiful guys here. The best place to marry is in your church, your local church. You know why? You share the same doctrine. You share the same value system. You share the same spiritual source. When you now decide to go outside, you may find churches where you are not sharing the same value system. And there may be conflicts. Let me give you an example, practical example. I was involved part of a wedding where the guy was Catholic and he was getting married to a Christ embassy guy, lady. And when he got married, sure, before they got married, there was problem everywhere. When they got married as well, too, there was problem. My child will not be baptized. My child will be baptized. We speak in tongues. We don't speak in tongues. They started fighting. That marriage, they are not together today. It is important you marry Christ Embassy, marry Christ Embassy, or marry churches that are similar to your doctrinal belief. You understand what I'm talking about? Catholic, marry Catholic. So don't try to marry someone. You are trying to force your doctrine on the person. A lady wants to get married, and she realized that she was so, I love you, I love you. 3 weeks to the wedding. My wife asked her, I said, which church are you going to be attending? It dawned on her, 3 weeks to the wedding. You know, the guy, which church do you attend? Some people are funny. The guy said, I attend Saturday church. And in that Saturday church, we wear black trousers and white top. And they don't eat some kind of things. They wear uniform. A lot of funny things. They don't believe in the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in Christ. They believe Christ is a prophet. You didn't ask all those questions. And now you are trying to change the person to come to your church. That becomes a problem. So many a times when our pastor are appealing to us to marry within the household of our faith, it's not because they don't want to lose you. It's because many a times they just want to safeguard you and help you. It is the best option. So when you find yourself in a situation like this, where you guys share different doctrinal beliefs and all, and you are not agreeing, and nobody's changing ground, then you may have to back out. Otherwise, you guys are going to have a problem in marriage. You may end up not going to church again. But when you are ready to shift ground, for example, when I met my wife as well too, she had some doctrinal belief. Then I was already pastoring one local church. Then, you know, it was a traditional church. They believe that you have to cover your hair, you don't wear trousers and all those stuff, you know, the church I was pastoring. And she, the church was coming from the wear trousers, she likes makeup, she doesn't cover and all stuff. I sat with her and we began to share scriptures together. I didn't make her feel that you are a sinner, you have to change to me. Or she'll say, you are a sinner, people don't know what you are doing, you have to change to me. We talked about it, and we talked about it. I told her, I pleaded with her to pay sacrifice for me because I was pastoring in that local church, which she did. She joined me to pastor the church, and she started covering her hair. She stopped wearing trousers for the period we pastored the church together. So she was able to pay the sacrifice. But if you cannot pay the sacrifice, don't marry the man and go and cause problem for him. It's better you back out. Don't go and marry now and say, hey, you are telling me to cover my hair. I'll not cover my hair. You are telling me to wear trousers. I'm not going to wear. Let the roof fall. But the man told you. So doctrinal differences is important. Talk about it. Discuss it. Share your values before you deal or you get in. Praise the name of the Lord. With these few points of ours, I think we've been able to do justice to the questions. Thank you so much. God bless you guys.
Can you put your hands together and celebrate?